Mr. Speaker, honourable members, fellow New Zealanders, kia ora. It's a great honour to be here in the New Zealand Parliament, our nation's House of Representatives, as a New Zealand First Member of Parliament. It's no wonder that the Beatles song, The Long and Winding Road, is one of my favourite tunes. As a fifth generation proud New Zealander, the journey, however, spans more than just my lifetime, going back to the pioneering days of the 1830s and 40s, when the likes of the Welsh captain John Williams skippered an early vessel to this country, when Robert Williams arrived and was the first doctor and coroner in Otago, when the Forbeses and the Stuarts and the Fairburns journeyed from Scotland to a new land of opportunity. Those family names live on, with my third name Forbes and my children's third names all still honouring the Forbes and Fairbairn names. Also honouring family members who fell in both World War I and World War II to uphold New Zealand's democratic principles and those of the Commonwealth. Growing up in a family of five in the country town of Waipukurua in St Hawke's Bay, very fond memories of endless hot summers. Oh, we all have endless memories of hot summers. Wish we had them again. Riding on our bikes everywhere along those hot tar roads. Swimming in the holes in the river or at the baths and having competitions to see how many times we could peel over the summer. Listening late at night on a walkie-talkie to Radio Hauraki out there on pirate ship Tiri in the late night airwaves. Our family had a strong community focus, with my father Bruce, a stock and station agent in Waipukurua, alongside my mother June, who both worked at Wrightson's. Both followed the footsteps of our forebears, with Dad serving on the Achilles in the Pacific during the war, and Mum, a wartime farm girl, she and her sister, taking care of their parents' farm at Wyndham. Those were the days when the New Zealand economy was in boom times. Dad would be down at the sale yards as an auctioneer, and they would put through 60,000 ewes at the Waipukurua ewe fair. Stock trucks lined up for miles coming into town. Our parents organised the local AMP show, the largest one-day show in New Zealand, while Dad was a trustee of the Pukiora Home for the Disabled and served for many years as a borough councillor. He very proudly used to tell me how Waipukurua was the first town in New Zealand to have a concrete footpath on every street. In those days, New Zealand was number two in the OECD, only surpassed by the United States of America. The New Zealand dollar was worth more than the US dollar. Everything we could produce was shipped over to Mother England. Full employment and job security was expected by all, as was a good free education, free health, and social security. But the New Zealand bubble was about to burst. New Zealand became embroiled in the Vietnam War, and with the introduction of television, we had war in our living rooms for the first time. Very sadly, in 1969, my brother Jack was killed in action in Vietnam, fighting with the New Zealand Army on those shores. He was one of the 37 young soldiers who gave his life for this country. I'm very proud to be in this corner of the house where the Vietnam crest is on the wall, and was here in Parliament in 2008 when Prime Minister Helen Clark delivered the formal apology from the New Zealand government to the Vietnam vets for the terrible way they were treated. We as a family never got over that tragic loss. In 1971, we visited Terendak Camp in Malaysia, where Jack's buried, and we were very proud to be there to see his grave. Flying back on the Air New Zealand DC-8 from Singapore, I can recall as a teenager the pride I also had in our national airline, Air New Zealand, our airline, part of my heritage. At the time, New Zealand had an army battalion based in Singapore, and we gave support in many ways to Singapore. Who would have thought that now, 40 years on, when we see where Singapore has gone compared to this country? Having been in debating clubs at my prep school, St Peter's in Cambridge, and then at St Hawke's Bay College, my journey was to have been in the field of law, and I always wanted to be a lawyer. I recall visiting the Auckland District Court and seeing a lawyer in full flight, his booming voice totally dominating the courtroom, his huge physical presence. Even the judge was mesmerised. That was, of course, David Longley before he entered politics. Oh, to be a lawyer like him, I thought. But as fate would have it, a six-pack of Hutton sausages was to change all that while attending a barbecue on the North Shore with the uncle of two Hawke's Bay friends. That was the late Ross Finlayson, a pioneer in the meat industry with sales to Russia and the Middle East. He wanted a young export trainee and offered me the job because I brought along the Hutton sausages to a big meat exporter's barbecue. What a choice! Be a poor law student at university or travel the world with a credit card and have an exciting life seeing exotic places. So by the age of 20, I was going to amazing places like Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Oman and throughout Asia. However, New Zealand's bubble was about to burst with Britain joining the EEC. No longer could we rely on the huge UK market, so exporters pounded the pavements in exotic new markets trying to diversify hundreds of thousands of tonnes of sheep meats. My journey on the long and winding road moved into farmed venison for Wrightson's, taking this wonderful low-fat meat to Japan, Asia, the United States, Canada and Europe, and then managing their perishable air freight and shipping side for Challenge Freight, part of Fletcher Challenge. And in those days, the Terrace, as we all know, the Terrace in Wellington, was the commercial hub of corporate New Zealand, with head offices for Fletcher Challenge, Crown Corporation, Dalgetty's, Briley's and many other famous New Zealand company names. The Think Big project saw the likes of the Clyde Dam being built, the methanol plant being built in New Plymouth, our container ports being developed. New Zealand was really going places. However, in less than a decade or so, much of corporate New Zealand was totally transformed and carved up. Head offices moved from Wellington to Auckland or offshore. Corporates downsized or disappeared. New Zealand Railways, the BNZ Air New Zealand, sold out. What a mistake we would all come to regret. I then joined the Belgian Trade Services Trade Commissioner here in New Zealand and was also appointed Honorary Vice Consul. And what an interesting 10 years being involved with a dynamic European economy that was in the centre of the heart of Europe. Historically important, of course, to New Zealand, when you see the names of Passchendaele up on the wall up here, when you see Messines on the wall over there. Also economically important for the distribution of so many New Zealand products such as kiwifruit, apples and meat, all entering the EU via Belgium. But somehow those 10 years were also disappointing to witness the comparison between Belgium with its 11 people and the results of New Zealand with our 4 million people. Their huge investment in education, R&D, technology, science and innovation, public transport, city infrastructure, and the list goes on. The gap widened between Belgium and New Zealand in the last decade, and it was very, very sad to see. This was one of the factors that inspired me to get more involved in local government, becoming a councillor, a community board member, and then the mayor of North Shore City, to try and bring some of that European flair and innovation to the shore and to the Auckland region. My sincere thanks go to the council and staff of North Shore City during my 9 years' involvement with them. We achieved so much as New Zealand's fourth largest city, with cutting-edge technology, innovative thinking, leading the way in New Zealand, and our council was recognised both here and internationally. We put in place the first 15-year long-term council plan of any council in the country. We sorted out the 18-year-old Pack and Save supermarket wrangle on Wairau Road, the Birkenhead Library fiasco, and the ever-looming risk of the commercial airport at Whenuapai Air Base. My thanks go to the Whenuapai Air Base Action Group, who saved the North Shore from the environmental effects and safety risks of a commercial airport in their urban region. My thanks also go to the Long Bay Great Park Society and the Chelsea Estate Heritage Society. In both cases, we secured hundreds and hundreds of acres of land, pristine land and native bush, taken into public ownership for all time and for this and future generations to enjoy. So much achieved in a short space of time, only to have the rug pulled out from under us with the Auckland Super City. The 800-page Royal Commission report was tossed in the bin and replaced by a 34-page handout within 10 days of the Commission reporting. The shore is not the same today and is a shadow of its former self. It's a tragedy, really, that 230,000 people have effectively been disenfranchised, with corporate Auckland in the form of the CCOs now in control of the city. The North Shore Sewage Treatment Plant, worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, developed by the ratepayers over decades, given away for a peppercorn dollar or so, handed over to a board of directors. Gone are the annual arts competition, the Wagon Walk Dog fundraiser, the Body Arts Awards. The weeds are growing taller in our city, as the Honourable Member Jonathan Coleman from Northcote will attest to, as he was in the paper talking about it just a week or so ago. Services are declining and the rates and costs are going up. That was not the way we expected the North Shore to become, certainly not why I moved to the North Shore. But a mayor's role is very much a 24/7 position, always on call and in demand. It must encompass the needs of all sections of the community. And I'd like to pay tribute to all mayors, regional chairs, councillors and community board members throughout the country. They do a fantastic job and deserve far more recognition for the important framework they provide throughout New Zealand. I look forward to working to assist local government through my appointment to the Local Government and Environment Select Committee. And the principles of New Zealand First align with the social, environmental and economic actions of a mayor. In line with the principles that the Right Honourable Winston Peters and the New Zealand First members have had all these years. I'm very proud to be able to apply what I've learned in local government to my role as a New Zealand First MP. Factors such as the seniors who have greatly benefited from the Super Gold Card with free off-peak travel. Support for the Returned Servicemen's Association with $1 million of funding going to the RSA. Introducing child visits for under sixes, and my wife Jane, a former Plunkett nurse and now child health manager, will attest to the importance of that. The disability support, the owning of and building and maintaining of community assets, economic policies focused on export-led recoveries, all New Zealand First principles that we should all aspire to. My thanks in closing go to my wife Jane, who we've been married now for 31 years, who stood by me through this lengthy journey. She was a great mayoress and will be by my side as a Member of Parliament. Thanks too to my children Sam, Nikki and Bryony, who no doubt have had a very colourful father, but one with the family and New Zealand's interests always at heart. Thanks go to the New Zealand First supporters and all other supporters too that have supported me over the years. It has been wonderful to know that you are behind me. It has been a long and winding road, but at the end of the day, like the Williamses, the Forbes, the Fairburns, the Stewarts who came to this land of opportunity, our aim in this House must be to strive to make this a better place for us all. New Zealand must lift its act. We must improve on the economic ladder, and we must do the very best for our country and its people. The last six or seven generations deserve more from this current generation to ensure that we do not sell ourselves down the river and become tenants in our own land. There needs to be a fair go for all.